It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading with verse 21. So please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, as we enjoy this great study today. And please, while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, why, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And our website, if you would like to visit that, and we're just getting it up in place, is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. I love studying the Word of God, and I'm glad that you've joined us today to do just that. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall upon them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. It came to pass in that the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. The sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall upon them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now we're going to stop there today in reading. We may get just a little bit further, but we'll end there and begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come. I ask for your power and for your strength that, dear Lord, we can walk each day and serve you and praise you. We can always seek your will and always know that you're just and you're right, and that we will walk with you, and we know that that is the right thing to do and the right way to go. And so please, dear Lord, today, please that you will touch every heart that's listening, that they will learn that the only way to live this life is with you. The only way to enjoy the pleasures of this life, the real pleasures, and that's to serve you in this life, awaiting the next life to come. And the only way that that can be done is if we come by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So please today that all that are listening will understand the need of having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, and I mean a personal relationship. It's not somebody you just know about, something you just read about. The Spirit of God must touch your heart, must bring you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And through that process of bringing, the Holy Spirit will show you your sin and how ugly you are and how much you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And then He will lead you to that Savior, to Him, that you may know Jesus Christ as your Savior and be saved. So please today that that take place, and then we continue to grow in you each and every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it is a wonderful time that we can come together and study. We have quite a situation here with Moses and the Egyptians as they are pursuing Israel. They have brought them to a place of no return, it seems like, to Israel and to the Egyptians, but of course not unto God nor unto Moses. Moses is seeking the Lord's will, and I love this. Back in the 13th verse, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." We need to do that. We need to do that often. So many times that we do not depend upon the Lord. We're born again, we're children of God, we're saved, but when it comes right down to being in a situation way, oftentimes we try to do it ourselves and depend upon ourselves and things like that, instead of really enjoying the privilege of being a Christian and enjoying the watching, just watching God deliver us. And please that you begin to look to the Lord. Sometimes the situations seem to be very dim, and seems like that justice isn't there, but it is, and God will take care of us as His own, and His will be done. And so please that we will follow after that. Well, these poor Israelites, they were down, stuck in this little corner, and they had the sea on one side, the wilderness, which was on the other side, but here came the pursuing Egyptians with all their strength and might. And of course, the only thing they said was, "There are no graves in Egypt," you know. And we talked about that last time we were together. And then Moses said, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now, that's difficult for us to do many times, isn't it? But that's what the Lord's telling the Israelites, and it's good instruction for us, too, that we can watch the Lord take care of His own and take care of the enemy in God's time. Now, here we have, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." And so as we watch this taking place, how that the Lord had Moses stand back and hold up his staff and divided the sea before him, and he took a mighty wind to do that, and yet it wasn't just a normal wind, because it divided the sea and it dried the land below, so that as Israel walked through, it was as if they were walking through on dry land. Get all kinds of stories and things that it was just a marsh, and it was during the dry season, and all these kinds of excuses and reasons. Here, I know the Word of God to be true. I believe it, and it's a wonderful story how that God took the wind and He divided it, the sea on each side, and here comes the nation of Israel, all 1 to 3 million of them, as they come through the body of that water, dry, no mud on their feet, and they begin to come up to the other side. Well, as they are doing that, as they coming from one side to the other, the cloud, the Shekinah glory cloud that God has given them for directions, that cloud has come from leading them, because the enemy is so close in the rear, at the behind them, that they come and he comes down, the Shekinah glory cloud comes between them. And so, and it is light for the Israelites to go on through, but it's darkness to the Egyptians because of the great cloud. And that's exactly what you'll find the day. And right now, this old world may seem pretty dark, and it seemed like no hope and no sense of direction. And yet, a Christian can seemingly have the light and see the direction and know the will of God, and you can't really understand that. Well, it's because we have the light of the Lord Jesus. And this is none other than the Lord Jesus himself that is standing there. And if you choose by faith to come to Jesus, then victory will be yours. If you choose to reject the Lord Jesus, judgment will be yours. And so that's your choice, and that's it. It's a wonderful opportunity to walk with Jesus Christ and to serve him. But as the Egyptians saw the judgment, so at the very same time, Israel saw the deliverance. And so that could be for you, and it can be for me. We need just to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And so, please, as we look at this now and we enjoy this time of study, it's important that you don't miss these things. And so, now that God has hardened the heart of Pharaoh, he hardened his own heart many times to the place that there was no return. And at that time, God began to harden his heart, because God said, I will be glorified even by the Egyptians. And so as that statement was made, and so now that Israel is going down through the sea and coming out the other side, and can you imagine the size of the opening of the sea, and you can imagine the number of people. I mean, this is something you don't do in 10-15 minutes. This is quite a process to bring these people through, and yet they are going very organized fashion, even though they've just thrown a fit and said that is there no graves in Egypt. It's so sad that when pressure comes, why we tend to turn from God and not to praise him and honor him and worship his name as we should. Well, they were reminded here very quickly, as Moses said, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And then he tells them that it's going to be the last time you're going to see the Egyptians. As this Shekinah glory cloud passed over them and down between them, they never saw the Egyptians alive again. And so now that they're coming through, God put in the heart of Pharaoh such a vengeance and such a hatred for the nation of Israel that Pharaoh followed them into this watery grave. And that's exactly what he did. He just followed him right in, not realizing that that's what it was. But it was a watery grave that he was leading them into. And they use no sense whatsoever. And today, the old world, we can sure see that, isn't it? The world seems to have no sense whatsoever. There's not a lick of common sense to so many people today. God will give you sense. He'll give you common sense. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you knowledge. You need to call upon him, depend upon him, and walk after him. And so please seek that today. Now, as the Egyptians are pursuing them, and I'm going to read verse 20 again, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. No matter what, as Israel moved through here, the Egyptians could not overtake them. God separated them, and what he was doing is saving Israel and again bringing judgment, final judgment, upon Pharaoh and his people. Now let's look at verse 21, and that's kind of where we begin here. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. The waters were a wall upon them on their right hand and on their left. What a picture! The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the hosts of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Now, let's back up here just a little bit and see, is not this the word that did tell thee in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? That's the words that Israel were saying just moments before. And God in His mercy, and God in His grace, you'd think that He would have just killed them right then when they would say such a thing about their God and to their God, because they didn't believe that He was able to deliver them. Well, we say the same thing, and we do the same things as we become impatient, waiting upon our God. Well, our God knows what's best, and so please that you will guide Him, you will be led by Him, and let Him guide you. And we find now, as this water is on the both sides, and it comes to pass here that Pharaoh and his horses and his chariots and all his horsemen have come down into this water, and we find that he even disables the chariots. God disables the chariots, and as the wheels begin to fall off, that Pharaoh and his men, in all their efforts, they try to get out of there. They said, let's leave this alone, because the Lord fighteth for them, and He fighteth against us. And so they're trying to get out of this watery, this soon-to-be watery grave. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And about that time, the walls of water begin to churn, just like a gigantic waterfall, and then it evens all out. And as Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength, when the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall upon them on their right hand and upon their left. Now, I want you to just kind of picture that. Here is the Shekinah glory cloud in the midst, so that the enemy, the Egyptians, cannot attack it or harm in any way Israel. And as soon as the Israelites were far enough into the sea, and it was so far and such a large body of water, you've got to imagine this, because in order to bring in all of Pharaoh's army and Pharaoh himself into this water, into this area, they are pursuing on dry land right behind the Israelites, but dividing them as this Shekinah glory cloud. And this the time when all the Egyptians were down in the place, and I mean the depth of this sea, I believe to be very deep, because for it to destroy and to kill, how many did it say? It says there remaineth not so much as one of them. Not so much as one. And so here comes the water. The water pours down upon them, and it kills every one. And yet each one, the Israelites, the nation of Israel, every individual that came through there, they walked on dry land. And can you imagine, as they did not have to watch the judgment. They saw the results of it later. But as God with the Shekinah glory cloud was between them, keeping them from pursuing Israel, and yet not in their justice, their judgment, they were so set upon destroying Israel that they used no sense. And they come down into this water, down into between this these two walls of water, and then the waters begin to close in upon them. And the only evidence was that as we there was remaineth not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters were a wall upon them, on their right hand, upon the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Now that's what happened the day that we watched the salvation of the Lord. What a tremendous picture. And you know, we believe that scripturally that we're to be immersed for baptism. Baptism does not save, but after you come by faith to Jesus Christ, then we give a testimony, a public testimony of what's happened in our heart. We go down into the water and we are baptized. And by standing in the water, it just gives us the picture of the old flesh and old self. We go down into the water, it pictures our death in the Lord Jesus Christ. And coming back up out of the water pictures the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the same picture here when they went down into this, even though it didn't cover them up. They went down in and came back out the other side, victorious, alive. And it's every individual that's ever lived has got to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not an event that something you can do as baptism or joining the church or walking down through the Red Sea on dry land is not going to spiritually save you. It must be by faith. But what a picture. What a picture. And baptism is the same way. Your church membership, it too is a testimony that Jesus Christ is your Lord, but it does not save you, nor will it keep you, as the Spirit of God is the one that has sealed you and is keeping you. And so what a tremendous. Now the Egyptians, the warriors, the Pharaoh, all are dead. And the people see the evidence of the judgment of God because they are laying up on the shores dead, horses and people alike. I told you that Shekinah glory cloud was dark to the Egyptians and light to the Israelites. And I told you that it's the difference between judgment and salvation, judgment and the grace of God. That's exactly what happened here. The grace of God was placed upon the nation of Israel. The judgment of God was placed upon the Egyptians because of their unbelief, not because they were an Egyptian or not because of their color of skin or anything else. It was only because of the lack of trust, lack of faith in Jesus Christ. They rejected that. And same is going to happen to you today. If you refuse to come by faith to Jesus Christ, judgment will come. It may come today, it may come next year, it may come in 30 years, but judgment will come, full judgment. And the disadvantage to coming, not only that you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, but the exciting thing of being a believer today is that you have the joy and the strength to walk each day with the Lord Jesus. Now, if you don't have the Lord Jesus, then it's just drudgery day after day, and so difficult to walk and to live this ugly old life, because it's controlled by the devil himself. And so I'm still in this world, but I'm not a part of this world. I have been separated out. And I still, go grocery shopping. I still work. I still do all the things that everybody else does in the world, to the most part. But I don't involve myself in the activities of the world. And so you're not going to see me sit in a tavern. You're not going to see me doing the things that the world does, because that's not pleasing to God. And so we need to look to the way of God and the will of God. And please, let's reduce the number of times that we cry unto the Lord and say, is there no graves in Egypt for us to die there? Why are you bringing us out here to die out here? God will never forsake you, never leave you if you are truly a child of God. And so please that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Well, I'd love to find out today that today is the day that you have been saved out of the clutches of the devil. Because you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and you begin to see that light, and you begin to gain the wisdom and the knowledge of God, and you begin to separate and walk a different life, because the Israelites are on a new path, a path they've never been on before, and that's exactly what will happen to you the day you meet Jesus as your Savior. It'll be a new path, a new way to walk each and every day. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, you know, as they begin to leave Egypt, we had a similar hope, a similar thought, similar statements, but it's becoming bolder. You see what happens, and you know it's not going to be long. We're going to find that the Egyptians are right back, or Israel's right back into wishing they were back in Egypt. But that's just human nature. But each time that we grow, each time that we watch God work, it grows us. Now, you must begin that growth by being born again. You must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be saved. Now, you do that as you're listening to this program today. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, you're going to feel that conviction. It's a different feeling, and we don't depend upon feelings, but it does affect us that we all of a sudden begin to recognize that our evil ways, that we're sinners and I'm lost and I don't know what to do about it. Well, the same one that introduces you to your sin shows you who you really are. That same one, the Holy Spirit, he will show you the way of salvation. You know, that's the difference of the psychologists and the psychiatrists and all those folks today. They have the ability to dig down deep in there and show you your problems and blame it on to your grandmother, your grandfather, your great-grandmother, your great-grandfather, something that they did. And so now that's a problem. Please, I ask you to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Look there for your wisdom, because once you come by faith to Jesus Christ, you're born again. You're born again. The psychologist, the psychiatrist, they can attempt to work through these things. But until you have a new heart and be made new again, you're still old, you're still dying. And so there's really no hope that they can give you. The hope that is there is in Jesus Christ. I hope that you see it today and come to him. And after this, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And it just continues. And next time we come together, we're going to begin with the 15th chapter, because it is a wonderful, wonderful study. And we're going to sing that song, or we're going to read it. You don't want me to sing it. But we will enjoy the time together as we study further into this voyage, this trip, as they have finally left Egypt. They are out of Egypt, and that Red Sea is behind them. They cannot return. they cannot return. And you need to see that today, that once you come by faith to Jesus Christ, there is no return. You begin to walk and to grow and to be more like the Lord Jesus. I hope that you've enjoyed the study today. I hope that you come back and meet with us once again as we meet each time. Please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?